chronicles their amazing maritime adventure, trying to see the world as young men in their late 20s amidst martial law in Taiwan. And Paul Chow, the initiator of the journey, you know, got this idea from seeing a little article in the International Herald Tribune about an international yacht race, a transatlantic yacht race from Rhode Island to Sweden. And he got the idea to write a letter to see if they would accept a Chinese junk in this yacht race, and was blown away when they got an acceptance letter. At that stage, they didn't have even a boat, let alone any sailing experience. And Hulu, Mr. Lu Chi-Hu from Christchurch, was Paul's greatest mate, and so he was the first one, you know, invited to join. And then they put together their motley crew amongst their friends, who had a background as fishermen, but not sailors, because at that time, the fishing boats in China, Taiwan were motorized, and so they had no sail training, no sailing experience whatsoever. And Calvin Maylard, who came aboard as the sixth junk mate, because the original sixth junk mate, when apparently his wife found out that he was signing up for this trip, said, forget about it. And it was at that time that Calvin Maylard had met them and asked whether it might be possible for him to join when he heard there was one place possibly available. And so he came along as the historian and filmed the journey, which is really how, you know, we have the inspiration to to make the Free China Junk film, which is a chronicle of their incredible bravado to take on this journey and to survive it, because it was not without dangers. I don't want to give away all of the ups and downs of their travel, but it was full of surprises and danger, and so it's just an amazing story. And the humor that they have in their storytelling, I still smile about their stories.
Absolutely. And that footage that Calvin Maylard captured is breathtaking. The colour, the richness of some of those colours, the sea is so blue, it almost hurts your eyes. Their skin is, you know, so young and brown. They're glistening, aren't they? They're quite Adonis-like.
Well, it's amazing. I really love that you've pointed that out, because to me, the quality of that Kodachrome film is something so special. And of course, we have all these new technologies now, but I don't think anything takes the place of that quality and the depth of the film.
Definitely.
And we were so lucky to have that. We actually finished the film, you know, in digital technology. We scraped through on the smell of an oily rag to finish after many, many years. Had we had a budget to do the whole thing on film, you know, that would really have been a dream.
Yeah.
But I'm glad to hear that the quality of that film came through for you.
Absolutely. Well, it was breathtaking. You're right. It doesn't really compare to some of the you know, we seem to think we live in a wealth of colour and, as you say, technology, but that was just simple filmmaking, beautifully done on really good quality film.
And I think that's why opportunities like the screening and the Martinborough premiere at Circus Cinema on later this month is such a special opportunity, not just for me as a filmmaker to, you know, get to share the film in the Wairarapa for the first time, but also for audiences to see the film in the way we intended it on a large screen.
Yeah.
Because that quality of seeing it projected, I think will really, yeah, really people will have something, a special experience to see.
When we have all these people watching us, and in a narrow harbor, we have to sail out. We did not even know how to sail in big wide ocean, not to talk about in a narrow channel. We just said, oh, there's no wind.
My first awareness about this story with the junk came through my wonderful Tai Chi teacher, whose nickname is Hulu, and his full name is Mr. Lu Chihu, whom I was lucky enough to meet when I moved to Christchurch in the late 80s from the U.S. And we worked on an educational video about Tai Chi. And we spent a couple of years doing that project together. And in the process, he started to reveal other aspects of his life. And he showed me a video, which was in black and white, and it was footage that a little clip of it is included in the Free China Junk film. It's from a television show in 1957 called Bull Journey. And I was just amazed by this story and his role in the story because Hulu was the sailmaster aboard this 1955 adventure. So that footage always was sort of emblazoned in my memory. And then many years later, I did a biographical documentary on Hulu, which was called Hulu. And in the way that I conduct my filmmaking, it's a very close collaborative process. It took me years for Hulu to agree for this film to happen. And in the process of making that, you know, we worked together in terms of, well, who does he want to speak about him and about his life? Mm-hmm. And one of his key people was Paul Chow, who was a junk mate and the initiator of the Free China Junk story. And when I was going to the United States on a personal trip, he said, go meet Paul. And that meeting with Paul and the filming that took place towards the Hulu film opened up a whole new chapter for me. Paul insisted that I meet the other surviving junk mates. There were, as you know, six total crew members, and one of them sadly passed away not long after their arrival in the United States. That was Benny, who died in a car accident. But the others were still alive in California, and Paul insisted and arranged that I meet all of them. And so I was very lucky. In addition to interviewing Paul Chow for the Hulu documentary, I was also able to meet and get to know Calvin Mailert, who, as you might have noticed, was the filmmaker aboard the junk. He was a young American vice consul. It was his first posting. He was posted to Taipei, and he ended up coming on board the journey, and he filmed the journey. Mm-hmm. And when I met him and Reno Chen in Northern California, and they showed me, they wanted to watch, you know, some footage of the junk. So I thought I was going to be watching the black and white footage that I'd seen in Christchurch in the late 80s. But lo and behold, Calvin produced this DVD. He said, didn't Hulu show this to you? I sent him a copy. And I said, no. It was color footage. And so the actual footage from 1955 was this glorious color footage. And I was just enraptured. And then they took me to actually to visit the junk, which was in dilapidated state in dry dock in a boatyard in the Sacramento Delta. And we did filming for the Hulu documentary there of both of them. And that day was the start of the Free China Junk documentary. I didn't even know what I was getting myself into.
Wow, that's incredible.
All of these men are such wondrous people and personalities. And, you know, they were all in their mid-80s when I was getting to know them and interviewing them. And sadly, Reno Chen, San Francisco, and also Marco Chung, who was based in Los Angeles, they both passed away before we could complete the Free China Junk, and so we've, you know, made the film in their memory. Yeah.
So you had the fundraiser. It's the Martinborough premiere of the film Free China Junk on the 22nd of June.
Yes, we're so pleased that Circus Cinema is hosting this event, and it'll be held at 3 o'clock. And the purpose of the event, in addition to being the premiere for the Wairarapa of the Free China Junk film, is actually to help us raise finishing funds for the sequel film, which is the working title is Return of the Free China Junk. I mean, who knew there could be a sequel? However, in the epilogue of the Free China Junk film, I was trying to help raise awareness about the plight of the junk itself, who's kind of like a quiet character in that film. And sadly, it ended up being abandoned in the shipyard in the Sacramento Delta. And because there was no payment for its berthing there, the owner of the shipyard, you know, said, we're just going to have to turn this into firewood unless we, you know, we get someone to take this away or a buyer. So Reno Chen, who's one of the stars of the Free China Junk, when he tragically passed away in 2007, his daughter, Dion Chen, didn't realize that the boat would affect her this way, but she went to go to see the ship after her father died. She thought for the last time, just to say goodbye to it and to take her children there to see it. And when she saw this boat, something just happened inside of her, a fire lit inside of herself to say, we have to try to save this boat. Wow. And so the epilogue in the Free China Junk is trying to help raise awareness. She created an organization called Chinese Junk Preservation to try to save the junk. And I really, having spent so many years trying to finish that film, I never would have guessed that I'd be talking with you now about the sequel film. However, this whole story and the junk, I think, got under my skin too. And I was, you know, following because I developed friendships with not only the junk mates, but their families. So I was keeping abreast of this story. And when after some years, it was finally they achieved, it was a whole team of people, Dion and Calvin Maylard and Paul Chow and the big network of people they put together, ended up finding a home for this junk back in Taiwan, thanks to the government of Taiwan. So I had members of the families and also some Taiwanese friends saying, you know, Robin, you need to go and document this. And I really thought my role with the story was over, however, seemingly not. And I was very fortunate to receive support from the Taiwan Economic and Cultural Office in Wellington and through their networking from the Ministry of Culture in Taiwan to go to Taiwan to be part of the celebrations of the junk's return to Taiwan in 2012. And that filming becomes the foundation for this sequel film. I'm excited about this film because it's not just the story of the journey of the junk 57 years later, back to where it started, this time not as an ocean-going vehicle by sail, but actually aboard a very large freighter. But it's also what the ship represents in terms of family history, in terms of collective memory, in terms of looking forward to also exploring more about the political context and how Taiwan has changed in those years. And it's just a fascinating story of how the junk has connected people in many layers and throughout time. And so I'm really excited about being able to share these stories. We were also very lucky to, at that time, have down from the original six junk mates to have three of the junk mates with us, and they converged in Taiwan. Lu Chi Hu or Hulu came from Christchurch, and Paul Chow from Los Angeles, Calvin Maylard from San Jose in California, and they were all there and with their family and some of them with their grandchildren to kind of really celebrate this special moment. Very sadly, Hulu passed away in Christchurch just shy of his 89th birthday last year, and he's been my inspiration for all of these films. In a sense, this for me will be the third of a trilogy because the first film, Hulu, was about his life, which led me to the Free China Junk film, and now, so this film will be dedicated to his memory and is something that I'm really looking forward to bringing to completion.
So how do people get hold of tickets to come along to the premiere?
Thanks to some friends, we have created a blog for the film, and the tickets to Circus Cinema, this fundraising event, will be available on the blog, which is returnofthefreechinajunk.com. Yeah, we'll be encouraging people to support the event and enjoy the celebration of it at Circus Cinema. There'll be nibbles and question and answer. I'm looking forward to being present for that. And on the day of the show, there may also be tickets available from Circus Cinema. We have been given both of the cinemas there, but I think there's just about 80 seats. So we're hoping that, you know, people will purchase early so as not to be disappointed.
The other thought that I had as I was watching it, particularly when I got to the end of the film, I thought, I don't know if we could even do that now. if people could have that freedom, even though it was post-war and, you know, they came from a complicated part of the world politically, they still had this ability to just get up, go. Do you also get the sense that you know, we don't have the same freedom now? And in a way, your film has captured a very important aspect of something we might have lost.
Well, I think that was a kind of magic window. I don't think they necessarily saw it as that. This was just something they set out to, you know, do, and they all had varying motivations of you know, joining this amazing journey. But yeah, I think it is a really unique period of time. Mm. And even when we talk about technology, I love Paul Chow's jokes about how, you know, forget about GPS, you know, we do it again without GPS, just by the stars and, you know, through, they had charts that were, you know, decades old that they had to use.
Yeah.
And there is that sense of wonder, yes, that I don't know that we could recreate now. Or, you know, we talk about, you know, I mean, people are doing amazing feats and sailing solo around the world, but, you know, not like this.